West Burkett.
Sheridan Funeral Home and Cremations, a compassionate professional service for the Sheridan community. Hi, this is Carrie Kimmel. At Sheridan Funeral Home, we respect all faiths, creeds, and customs. We take great pride in our compassionate professional service. We promise to take care of you and your loved ones with respect and dignity, just as if we were taking care of our own. It is a privilege to be able to serve you when you need us. Visit SheridanFuneral.com. Sheridan Funeral Home and Cremations, compassionate service for the Sheridan community.
In Wyoming, we don't talk much about feelings. We fix things. Fences, engines, the weather. We just live with it. But lately, too many of our older neighbors are quietly giving up. Sometimes they say they're tired. Sometimes they just stop showing up. When someone starts to pull away, saying something can make all the difference. Asking, "Are you okay?" doesn't make it worse. It might just save a life. And when someone's hurting, even for a few days, can give them the time they need to heal. If you or someone you love is in crisis, call or text 988. You'll reach trained counselors day or night. Wyoming takes care of its own. Always has. Always will. A message from Wyoming Health Fairs, with support from the McMurray Foundation, Natrona Collective Health Trust, and the Wyoming Association of Broadcasters, working together to make sure no Wyoming neighbor faces their darkest moments alone.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whitey.
Tuesday, February 10th. From the foot of the Bighorns in Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, we are joined by Wyoming Highway Patrol Lieutenant Louis Tegdesh. Good morning, LT. Welcome back.
Good morning, Floyd. Thanks for having me.
Now, the weather's turned slick overnight. I mean, everything was pretty nice out there. The bridges are looking a little rough. How's it going?
Good. Like you, I came up from Buffalo this morning, and it was definitely slick in spots. You could see that the sheen of ice, or, you know, the lights reflecting off that. It was, for the most part, it was between Buffalo and Sheridan, more so towards Buffalo. And you just got to remember that you don't want to have your cruise control on and slow down a little bit until you get past that.
Now, is that generally the stretch of highway that you're concerned about most? When weather does turn like this and it starts to sleet and you know you're going to have some ice on the road, what section of highway within our area are you generally most concerned about?
It really depends. I mean, sometimes it could happen in the middle of nowhere, but typically, as you know, most of our traffic in the morning or afternoon is between Buffalo and Sheridan on I-90. So obviously, the more traffic you have, the more chances there are going to be of something happening. Mm-hmm. So it's just, you know, a numbers game.
Now, we saw, and I'm just kind of pulling this out of the air, it just came to my mind, there was a truck fire on the road not too long ago. What was that situation?
It was last... must have been Thursday.
I think it was Thursday, Friday, yeah.
It was a local rancher that was driving his flatbed pickup with a couple round bales of hay on it, and it just happened to catch fire under the hood. Not sure why, but luckily he was able to pull well off the road. We got the fire department from Story in Buffalo, and they kept it under control to where the grass fire didn't spread too much, and they got it out.
It's just incredible that we've got to worry about a grass fire in February.
Yeah, yeah. There was another one yesterday on I-90 by the Campbell County line, caused by someone pulling a small trailer, and a wheel failed, and it caused probably a 2-3 acre fire. But luckily, the fire department responded quickly enough to get it out, even with pretty high winds at the time.
Wow. And thank you to all the first responders out there who got to that fire, including our Wyoming Highway Patrol and the fire departments who responded. Is there anything that you think drivers should really keep in mind when these temperatures hover around freezing, moisture comes in, you know there's going to be that concern. You said earlier, turn off that cruise control. Do you have that a lot?
Yeah, it happens fairly often where people aren't aware that maybe they shouldn't have their cruise control on, or, you know, it's dry in some spots and you get up on the interstate like this morning and all of a sudden there's ice. So you got to be paying attention to that, pay attention to other traffic, give yourself extra room to slow down and not be too close to other vehicles that, you know, we've had times where the car in front of you might lose control and spin out and then you're too close and you could be a two vehicle crash or, you know, you're going to end up sliding off the road because now you're hitting your brakes. So you just got to give yourself extra time and extra room.
I always try to follow the 2 second rule. A vehicle in front of you passes a post, a sign, whatever, and you count 1-1,000, 2-1,000 before you're past that same point. Anything closer than that to for me, and I'm uncomfortable. But there are some individuals out there who like to get pretty dang close.
Right.
And I've always kind of wondered why. There's a whole freeway out there.
Yeah.
You know.
I like to go by the 2 to 3 second rule, and that's on good roads.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, there is a law, a state statute for following too close. And typically we use that, you know, 2 to 3 second rule ourselves when we're watching other traffic and making sure they're not too close to someone else, or else we might be stopping them and educating them on giving themselves some extra room. So there's,
I was unaware that there was a state statute about that.
There is. Yep. It's to not follow more closely than reasonable or prudent. There's also another part of that where you need to give enough room between you and the vehicle in front of you, or there needs to be enough room between you and the vehicle in front of you for someone else to be able to move into that space and occupy it with enough room.
Wow. Yeah, I think about driving in, say, like Denver, Billings,
and
it's
yeah.
just, yeah, I can't remember the last time I saw a car length between two vehicles on one of those major highways
right.
around those major cities. Now, we've had an unusually dry and mild winter overall. So does that sometimes, from your experience, does that kind of catch drivers off guard? We get comfortable driving in this condition, and then all of a sudden it switches overnight. Does there tend to be more fender benders or people running off the road and something like that?
Now that it's been nice and dry, we don't really get the crashes that we're used to in the wintertime. I think we're used to all this nice warm weather, and then like this morning where all of a sudden there's a little bit of ice, it could cause a problem. Luckily, we haven't had any calls this morning for any of that.
Oh, great. Knock on some wood here. How does the Wyoming Highway Patrol adjust staffing or patrol focus when conditions change like this quickly? Do you call in other people during storms, or is it just, this is who we have on call right now, and we respond with what we've got?
Well, it's always an option to call other people. And for the most part, even if we're not on call, we're on call. So if you get a call and your shift partners or, you know, the people working that day help and you're off and you have the opportunity, certainly we could have you come out there and help out for, you know, a couple hours until all the issues are resolved. Otherwise, our guys know where problem areas usually are, and they will respond to those areas and just be visible or be in that area in case something comes up and they can respond appropriately.
I know the captain's out right now, but generally, do you guys like to patrol based on like data-driven patrolling? So, hey, we know they speed here more. We've issued more citations in this area. Let's make sure that we're over there. Or is that managed differently than that?
I think everybody just knows where the traffic patterns are at any given time of week, and they usually, you know, respond to those areas and generally work those areas throughout the week based on what they've noticed. There is stats we can look up to, but with such a huge area that we cover, we might not necessarily be able to be in certain areas that could be problem areas. So it just depends on if we get a call somewhere and you got two guys working for two counties, we might not be able to be in the so-called problem areas at any given time, but we know where those areas are where we're going to see more traffic or higher amounts of speeding vehicles, the areas where they're more prone to crashes and things like that.
And it always kind of gets me when I stop and think about the amount of area that you guys actually have to patrol. It's pretty staggering. District 4 is a very large district. I don't know how it compares to others, but I mean, this is a big district.
It's quite large, and it includes Sheridan and Johnson County, and then it goes west to Cody, which goes all the way to Yellowstone Park boundary, on over to Riverton, Lander, Dubois, to Tokidi Pass.
Wow. That's incredible. All right. Now, when it comes to weather conditions, do troopers communicate real-time road conditions with anybody? Are you reporters as much as you are patrol, or that's somebody else's duty?
That's mostly the duty of YDOT, the plow drivers. They, as they're working the road or, you know, even doing road checks in a pickup truck, they relay that information to what's called TMC. It's the Traffic Management Center, and they are located in Cheyenne, in the same building as the Wyoming Highway Patrol Dispatch. They're just in separate rooms with like a glass window between them. And so the maintenance workers will relay the road conditions to TMC, who then are able to post that information on the website, so, or the 511 app or whatever. So
great app, by the way. I use it all the time.
So the traveling public can look at that information and see if there's, you know, any advisements like no unnecessary travel, or if roads are closed, if speed limits have been reduced in certain areas. So yeah, they keep up on that pretty well. It's throughout the day, they're constantly updating things as conditions change, and our maintenance staff do a really good job in relaying that information.
Yeah, they do. And boy, they are kind of Johnny on the spot with that stuff too. Anytime I check the road conditions, they're being updated all the time on that app and the website. If you don't have the app, folks. Now, can you talk about two new highway patrol troopers who've recently joined the area?
So, we have two new troopers. They're just finishing this week in the academy, and they'll be on the road starting Sunday. So it's the FTO process, which FTO stands for Field Training Officer, or FTE, Field Training Exercises. And throughout this process, they have to have a trooper with them for 12 weeks to, you know, show them how we do things and learn how we do the job. And they have to pass all these different steps throughout 12 weeks, do certain things, and they're graded each week until they finally make it on their own.
We call that the left seat, right seat ride in the military. You're not allowed to drive the Humvee by yourself until you pass certain things.
That's right.
Even if you're coming fresh out of school where you think you know everything that there is, and then all of a sudden you get to your training area or in country, and then they teach you the real training.
Right. This is applying the knowledge that they learned in the academy to the real world situations that we deal with.
Where would they be assigned? Are they going to kind of be general troopers throughout the entire district, needed where they're needed, or going where they're needed?
Yeah, so they're going to belong in Troop C right here, and they both live in the Sheridan area.
Oh, great.
So our main area that we cover is Sheridan and Johnson County.
That's fantastic to hear. Two new troopers out there on the road, folks. Now, what does that mean for your team, adding two troopers? I mean, in the world of law enforcement, that's a big boost.
Yeah, we're going to be fully staffed here in this area. I believe that's going to make 9 troopers, a sergeant, and then myself. And typically, I know the listeners know this area is fantastic. Typically, we don't have that many openings. Mm-hmm. So when there are openings, they usually fill up pretty fast because people want to live in and work in this area. But to be fully staffed is just a relief to everybody. I would say to the troopers that they work with. So we're not shorthanded and we have more people to respond to things, but also the public, so we can serve them better.
And finally get a little time off here.
Yeah.
Without having to worry about the vibrating phone in your pocket, right? All right, on that, I do have to take a quick commercial break. More with the Wyoming Highway Patrol right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Some banks answer to shareholders.
First Federal Bank and Trust answers to the community.
Because as a mutual bank, everyone benefits. Profits stay local.
Supporting nonprofits and community programs with decades of local roots and modern online and mobile banking that fits your life.
More than a bank.
A mutual commitment.
First Federal Bank and Trust. Member FDIC.
Hi, this is Jill Bates with the Bates Team at Best. Getting that real estate sign in your yard is a very exciting first step in the new direction you're moving. For some, that can represent a job well done. For us at Best, our sign represents a commitment to put our best foot forward. We offer a full price analysis, staging, and prep work plan before your home hits the market so that you can feel proud of the company you choose. Let our team work hard for you and make selling your home the best decision. Give us a call, 675-BEST, or visit bestwy.net.
If you've worked in the construction trade, have skills in carpentry, plumbing, and electrical, or ever operated heavy equipment, the Sheridan County Airport is hiring a full-time maintenance technician with excellent benefits including medical, dental, eye care, retirement, and sick leave. Find out more at the Sheridan County website. Email your resume and cover letter to humanresources@sheridancountywy.gov or mail it to 224 South Main, Suite B1 today.
Big dealerships have big budgets for big advertising, but the truth is that major sponsorships cost big bucks. Here at Prime Rate Motors, we choose to sponsor our local youth and local worthwhile programs, all the while passing that savings on to you, our customer. We are locally owned with the same ownership and management for over 40 years. If we don't have what you need, we'll find it and we'll stand behind it after the sale because we live here, we work here, and we raise our families here. Prime Rate Motors, 2305 Coffeen Avenue.
Are winter illnesses keeping you or your family from work, school, or play? When fever, cough, or body aches strike, don't wait it out. At Same Day Health and Imaging, we're here for you 7 days a week offering quick, compassionate care. Illnesses don't follow a schedule, but our extended and weekend hours have you covered. Same Day Health and Imaging, located at 1470 Sugarland Drive between Walmart and WyoVision. Walk-ins welcome or schedule an appointment. Visit SheridanSameDay.org to learn more.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting, and this morning we're speaking with Wyoming Highway Patrol Lieutenant Louis Tegedesh. Now, we were talking about some new troopers in the area before I had to take a quick commercial break. Now, LT, when we think about people choosing a law enforcement career, I talk to the Sheriff's Department, I talk to the PD quite a bit about hiring. Law enforcement, you know, it seems like it's always like a shifting a staff through there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of opportunities. Why might someone consider a career with the Wyoming Highway Patrol
instead of a different law enforcement agency?
Well, I think, you know, each agency is necessary. You have to have each one. And I think a lot of it depends on your personality. So like with the Wyoming Highway Patrol, we have a much larger area. We don't come in and report to any like station at the beginning of our shift. We get in our car at home, and for the most part, we decide where to go for the day. And for some people, you might get lonely.
Yeah, it's a pretty solitary being in the
middle
job.
Being in the middle of nowhere. I think a lot of it has to do with personality or the type of work you like. As you know, we work a lot of the interstate and the crashes that come with that. We focus a lot on traffic stops where, you know, if someone else wants to be more involved with a community and deal with different types of calls, the city might be better for you. We have very little supervision, I guess. I mean, there's supervision, but you might not see your boss for a couple weeks just because, you know, the areas are so big. And we have guys that live in Buffalo. We have a guy that lives in Casey. We have guys that live in Sheridan, Ranchester, Dayton. So we're very spread out. Mm-hmm. You know, it's...
You're not all coming to the station to meet up once a day.
Yep. So, yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with your personality and what type of work that you like.
Very independent out there.
Yeah.
Independent operations. And I could see that being a great fit for certain individuals.
Yep.
Who like to kind of operate within that realm as opposed to more of a team-centered type of activity or law enforcement. When we talk about careers with the Wyoming Highway Patrol, as you said, traffic's a big one. And when it comes to detective work and things like that, there are certain careers, I think, within the Wyoming Highway Patrol that you're not going to get in too many other law enforcement agencies, like crash detectives and things like that. What other opportunities like that are there?
Yeah. So we have a canine team. So they're spread throughout the state. They focus mostly on drug detection. And we have a special response team. So it's like a SWAT team,
but
they're spread throughout the state as well. So if big things come up in a certain area, you might have them called up and have to respond long distances to get together to resolve an issue. And that's where we like to rely on other departments as well. Like certain sheriff's offices have their own SWAT teams. Some of the bigger departments do as well. So we can also work with them because they are localized, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be hard to get troopers together from all around us, all around the state in a timely manner. But there's commercial vehicle inspectors. That's a big one for the Highway Patrol. We have a lot of commercial vehicle traffic. And there's a lot going on where they have rules they have to abide by. And we need to make sure that they're accountable because, for example, almost 2 weeks ago at about 9:30 at night, there was a wrong way semi driver on I-90 coming out of Campbell County. And luckily, close by was our commercial vehicle inspector. He pulled him over going the wrong way. And the guy was intoxicated. So any trooper can deal with that, but it's even better for our commercial vehicle inspector to do to make that arrest and do his federal paperwork so that him and his company is held accountable and that he's going to lose his license. It's, you know, it's all about protecting our travelers on the roadway.
My goodness. You know, there's always a specific job, and it's a great honor, and I know it's very specialized, but that is essentially protecting the governor.
Yeah.
To serve in that realm, and I think that is such a fantastic opportunity for so many of the patrolmen that are out there to see those guys kind of serve that special role, I guess you could call it. And that's it's there's not very many of them, is there? I mean, it's a very specialized team.
Yeah, there's not that many, and there's a process to becoming a part of that executive protection detail where they are troopers. When there are openings, if a trooper wants to transfer to that area in Cheyenne, they have to go through a process. They have 60 days to see if it works out for them. They have to write up an assignment or something and go through an interview. And obviously it's a big deal. We're protecting our governor. And, if he needs us, we do what's required.
What a fantastic opportunity. I always kind of see those guys doing their job. They take it so seriously and rightfully so. Kind of the Wyoming's own little Secret Service branch.
That's right.
I think it's fantastic. Yep. Now, before I let you go, how competitive is the hiring process within the Wyoming Highway Patrol?
Well, it can be quite competitive. We have high standards, and there's a whole process to being hired, to happen to fill out some pre-background questionnaires online before you even show up to the interview process. Which takes several hours, I guess. About 4 hours is what I've been told. And then they have a testing. It's usually in Cheyenne. And there's going to be an interview panel that the candidate goes in front of. It's usually a lieutenant and at least two troopers, or a sergeant, a trooper, something like that. So they go through questions, get graded, they have physical fitness testing. If they pass all this, then they go to the background phase. So they have special background investigators that it could take 3 months. They get about 3-4 months to do these backgrounds. And they go through everything. If you leave something out, they will probably find it. So obviously the best policy is to be honest about it. And after the backgrounds are done, they make hiring decisions, and then starts, usually it's like a 25-week academy in Cheyenne for the Highway Patrol. And so you have to get through that. And then, of course, like I mentioned, it's that 12-week process of being trained in your area that you're assigned. So it takes probably about a year from when you start to when you're a solo trooper.
Wow. And rightfully so. As you said before, you're out there independent, making pretty serious decisions on your own in a timely manner. If someone wanted to apply, or if they wanted to look more into this, what do they need to do?
There's actually a recruiter that we have. He's a trooper with the Highway Patrol, and I think he's located. I know it's over in Basin or Warland or something like that. He's stationed out of the Warland office. So his name is Anthony Landers. I don't have his phone number offhand, but he's a great resource. Otherwise, just to call up the Highway Patrol or even get a hold of one of us locally, and we can get that information to them, and they can find out, you know, more about the hiring process, what we do, and things like that.
Available positions and
right.
So forth.
Yep.
LT, I want to thank you so much for coming in this morning, sir. It's always great to see you.
Thanks, Floyd.
I hope you guys be safe out there.
Thank you.
All right, when we come back, we're going to speak with the Wyoming Department of Transportation. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Ever wonder where your bank's priorities really are?
At First Federal Bank and Trust, they're right here.
No shareholders, just shared values.
Local decision-making, community support, and a long-standing commitment to the people we serve.
Plus the convenience of online and mobile banking.
Banking that matches your values.
First Federal Bank and Trust. More than a bank, a mutual bank. Member FDIC.
The optical team at Eye Care of the Bighorns are serving up serious style with designer eyewear.
Prada, Jimmy Choo, Nike, Ray-Ban, Maui Jim, Kate Spade, Vera Bradley, Betsy Johnson, and that's just warming up. Sunglasses for everybody by every designer with anti-reflective coatings to reduce glare and reduce eye strain and fatigue, protecting you from Wyoming's harsh sun, snow glare, and wind.
Eye Care of the Bighorns, insightful eye care for all seasons. Stop by 1033 Coffeen Avenue in Sheridan.
I'm here with Candace Kindred from Teriyaki Madness. Long days are cold and dinner decisions feel harder than they should.
Tommy, hi. So warm things up with Teriyaki Madness. Come check out our best-selling orange chicken tossed hot in the wok and served over warm noodles. And if you want more heat, make it spicy. It's real made-to-order comfort food that warms you from the inside out.
And you don't even have to go out in the cold.
Now with Mad Dash, order on the Teriyaki Madness app, select Mad Dash, and pull up front. We'll run the food right out to your car. Stay warm and keep those kids buckled.
Turn up the heat with Teriyaki Madness.
Hi, this is Dan Marshall with Captain Clean. We are Northern Wyoming's premier cleaning service. Carpet cleaning, air duct cleaning, oriental rug cleaning, water and fire damage restoration, mold remediation, upholstery cleaning, tile and grout cleaning, hardwood floor cleaning, and much, much more. Nobody cleans like we do. Call Captain Clean today, 672-0726. Affordable solutions for healthy living.
We clean more for you.
Looking for a gift that means more this Valentine's Day? At Legacy Diamond and Gems, beautiful jewelry comes with a little something extra. For every $500 you spend, you'll receive a free $50 gift card, perfect for flowers, chocolates, or dinner. From classic diamonds to colorful gemstones in every style and budget, our bench jewelers help you find a piece that's truly personal. Make your gift and the whole night unforgettable. Legacy Diamond and Gems in downtown Sheridan or online at LegacyDiamondGems.com.
This President's Day weekend, save on every purchase for your home at Mossholders. You can find your favorite piece in stock and buy right off the showroom floor, or choose to customize your furniture in the fabric or leather of your choice. Either way, you still save. With more than 18,000 square feet filled with inventory, you can test out tons of sofas, recliners, mattresses, and more. Save on all dining sets, rugs, bedroom groups, and accessories. Mossholders President's Day sale begins this Thursday. Mossholders, furniture is our passion.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. For our second part this morning, we are joined by the Wyoming Department of Transportation Senior Public Information Specialist for all of District 4, Laura Dallas. Good morning. Welcome back.
Good morning, Floyd.
Now, we were just discussing a headline that I put up earlier. I made a mistake. That one is on me, my friend. I took two separate projects that were going on from YDOT, folks, and I confused them to be one project. So, Laura, my apologies, my friend.
Accepted. Thank you.
Getting back on track. How are the road crews doing? They actually got to head out there today or no?
Well, they're not pushing any snow by any means, but, you know, they're just sitting by waiting for the snow to fly. They're doing fence repairs, working on some culvert cleaning, getting, I guess they were out delineating the other day. Just they're staying busy.
Yeah.
So.
And we touched on this a little bit the last time you were on, but it's, you know, for all the worries that so many of us have about the weather situation right now, it's good that, you know what, we can get caught up on these little side projects here and there since...
Right. There's always work to be done.
Yeah.
So, yep.
And that's kind of the thing about the highway. These roads, there's always something to do with them.
Yeah.
Years down the line, YDOT recently actually held a very well-attended public meeting concerning the Coffeen Avenue Corridor Project. For listeners who may not have had the opportunity to attend, my friend, what is the goal of this Coffeen Avenue project?
So the Coffeen Avenue project is one of our projects. It's currently in the STIP for 2028. And that means that in 2028, we're going to redo Coffeen Avenue. Not Main Street level, per se. We're not doing any utility work in there. So it's just basically a mill and overlay. So we're going to tear up the old surface and replace it with new surface. Along with that, we always look at the opportunities to see, like through corridors, especially through communities, is this route sufficient? Is there anything that needs to be addressed moving forward? Because after this project, it's going to be probably another 20, 25 years before the road is redone anyway. So communities grow. The number of vehicles that travel on our routes increases due to growth. So we take that opportunity to do an assessment and a review. And so traffic decided to do a corridor study, a traffic study on that corridor to determine if anything needed to be improved on that route. And one of the things they look at is safety, which is involves crash data. So there was a significant number of crashes over the past 10 years through the corridor, mostly between like where Wendy's is past Starbucks.
Okay.
And then also on the Brundage leg of that Coffee and Brundage intersection. And so that was concerning to traffic because those numbers were pretty significant in specific spots along the corridor, but not the entire corridor. So they're looking at, okay, well, what can we do to minimize the number of crashes? Most of them are left angle or left turn crashes. So people crossing center line to mostly access a business or whatever. And so with that, they determined there's multiple ways we can do. We can add signals. Upon the review of the study, signals weren't really a viable solution because there's the ones in place that are there because it works for the system. Adding medians was the primary report back that's going to be the most successful, most efficient addition to that corridor. And that's going to help eliminate those left-handed, left-turn angle crashes. It's going to slow down traffic a little bit. It's going to regulate where people turn left versus not. It's going to push them to basically the intersections, which rather than just turning in the middle between a block or so, which is currently exists now. And then it also gives the opportunity for the community to add some aesthetic appeal to the corridor. And the medians that the city is looking at doing, and they're on board with this. And they're going to be having oversight of the median aspect of it, like what the design will look like primarily from the aesthetic view. So I don't know if many of you have been down to Laramie, like in front of the dorms on Grand Avenue. They added probably 10 years or so ago, they added medians in there. And there's some nice vegetation in there. There's some trees in certain spots as long as they don't block, you know, site distance and all that for the traveling public. And so it adds a real aesthetic, welcoming feel to the community. And I think, you know, who doesn't want that? Well, welcoming people into their community is like, hey, look at our pretty town.
I can remember when they added those in Laramie.
Mm-hmm.
And I lived in Laramie for a number of years.
As did I.
And went to college, mm-hmm. and attended university. And I always kind of felt that, man, traffic in Laramie can just overnight just turn into chaos, right? Yep.
The freshman move-in day.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's a nightmare. Incredible. But then during one of these visits, because I still got family that live there, I did notice these medians. And number one, yes, it tightens everything up. Number two, it did add an aesthetic value. Mm-hmm. It looks, for lack of a better term, prettier to have these things in the middle there with some vegetation. It really does add a lot. Kind of classes the place up a little bit.
Right.
So during this meeting, I do believe January 29th this mm-hmm. was held, correct? What kind of public feedback did you receive? You said that the city was very supportive of this decision. What else did you hear?
We had really well attended. We probably had 30 some people there. Most of them were representatives for businesses along the corridor. We always have, you know, just the general public that likes to just stay well informed, and we appreciate them attending. It seems like the biggest hesitation about adding those medians is what the intent is of the ends is to limit those left hand turns, and so they're concerned about those access points that are on the corridor now. A lot of those are going to go away. How is my northbound motorist going to turn into my west side access point if there's a median?
So, you know, you're going to have to, motorists and every single one of us in this community is going to be affected by it. You know, we're going to have to refigure out what's our path. Mm-hmm. How are we going to get from point A to point B? You know, how am I going to get down this corridor? And so it is going to push traffic to intersections. You're going to have to, you know, turn right to go left.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a learning curve for many of us, which is part of the process. But so that was one of the concerns, was limiting the access to businesses. And then also the time that it potentially could add, because medians tend to slow down traffic through corridors. It just changes the character of the corridor. And so somehow it changes the speed you go through with it. So, mm-hmm. which also reduces incidents for crashes. So there's all, you know, kind of a given. It all works. Yeah, like it's just going to take me, I'm going to have to go all the way around such and such and take this route to get to this place. And that's going to add 10 more minutes to me getting my errand ran. And it's, so those were kind of some of the comments we're getting. Majority of our comments, online comments, were all like supportive, and they understood it. They understood it for the most part, with a caveat of like, well, what about this? How mm-hmm. is that going to work? So I think people are not quite visualizing what that's going to work. And, you know, I encourage people to, well, consider other communities you've been in, like 59 South and Gillette. They added those medians. And then going down to Laramie in the, you know, the university area, just in Billings, you know, it's all kinds of opportunities up there. So just kind of thinking through that and how it'll work.
Yeah.
So we've done a lot of time and energy and studying of like why it should work and will work. So,
and obviously the individuals who put this plan forward as a major proposal, probably the proposal, have studied things like Laramie, Gillette, when they added all of these, did it make an impact?
So when the consultants study these areas, they actually have these models that they can put in, like situations like, okay, we have 6,500 cars that go through this corridor in a day, and these are our peak times, and these are where our traffic signals are, and these are where our main intersections are. And so they'll run a model that kind of says, okay, let's change this aspect mm-hmm. of the corridor and see how traffic flows. What pops up as being a problem area, what looks to be to solve a problem. And so they, I mean, there's a bunch of engineering that goes into it, and they try different scenarios to see, you know, if and it will or will not work, if it benefit the corridor. So,
and a lot of that really does kind of take an overhead view. Mm-hmm. You know, let's see how this works out. I'm sure some people have played certain video games that actually this is the point of the video game, but that stems, excuse me, from a real engineering perspective.
Yeah.
Let's see how it flows, because that is the goal. Flows,
right.
Lack of crashes, keeping people
efficiency
safe.
And then moving forward. What's this going to look like in 20 years? Is this corridor going to be able to handle, at the rate of growth the community is seeing now, is it going to be able to, you know, have sustainability?
And flow and safety. Flow mm-hmm. and safety.
You know, not only for motorists, but pedestrians and bicyclists, too.
Mm-hmm. So, and, I mean, which is, you know, a growing percentage mm-hmm. of the population as well.
Yeah.
What's the current timeline for design and construction?
Well, we were at the preliminary plans, was what we shared with the community a couple weeks ago. So, moving forward, our engineers will look at those preliminary plans, take the feedback that we were getting from the public, look at that corridor and say, okay, are there some areas that we could tweak a little bit? Will it work? Is it reasonable change? You know, and they'll look at that. And then they'll go and do grading plans, which is the next level of design. And then we'll have that review probably within a year. I'm whole timeline-ish. So we'll review that again, and then we'll have a public meeting when that comes about. And then we'll go into final plans, which usually happen 6 to 8 months prior to when the project is built. So late 27, early 28, maybe we'll have those final plans ready.
And as you said, as this is going on, there's going to be the Millen overlay. There's going to be the addition of the medians.
Mm-hmm. we'll also be upgrading ADA at the sidewalks.
That's fantastic.
Because that's required for older systems. And then We're putting a new stoplight in at Ridley's on Coffeen. Fun fact, that's the oldest stoplight in YDOT system across the state. So there's that little, here's your trivia for the day.
The oldest light in the system right now.
Yeah, that's what I was told. So that's kind of crazy.
They're going to be going in there and updating
that. Yeah. And then at Sheridan Avenue and Coffeen Avenue, there was consideration of putting a roundabout in there. Which unfortunately we can't do because we don't have the real estate that we don't, there's not enough space to put a functioning, adequate roundabout in there. So, traffic is going to look at maybe changing, the signals and then also where the travel lanes are and doing some fancy painting down there.
So there's going to be some significant changes.
A little bit of nothing major. It runs pretty well. Mostly changing up, from what I understand, like the left turn, left turning there at that intersection. So more to come on that one.
Okay. All right. Now, when it comes to driver impacts, these going to be pretty minimal, or are we going to be seeing something for a construction season?
Oh, it'll be construction. So there'll be lots of orange. I'm not sure how our contractor that, you know, eventually gets awarded that job, we'll do it. It'll probably be, east. We close eastbound, throw everything on westbound, and then, you know,
vice versa.
Flip flop, like most paving jobs are. It will not be a closure like, you know, Main Street was. So it'll be open to traffic just with some modifications.
Dropping down to 15 to 10 miles an hour for, going from 4 to 2.
Yeah.
Now, when we look at this fitting into the big broad planning for Sheridan, how often do we look at traffic flow in Sheridan? Is this something that you and your office sit down once a year and just kind of go over everything generally, or do you guys just kind of focus on problem areas?
Oh no, we have a twice a year we do twice a year with the group, the engineers and the AMSs and resident engineers and the administrative staff all get together. They're called the road tour. So we go through every single route within our district and we evaluate and we identify hotspots and we identify what needs, like where was the last time it was paved? What's the traffic count look on it? What's the crash data look on it? How often is maintenance coming in and doing repairs to the route?
Mm.
Does it need new signage? You know, is it needed updated? There's a huge thing. It's usually a day long, sometimes a 2 day long conversation with everyone. I mean, they just get in the weeds on this. And so it is a very detailed look at our system and prioritizing what needs to be, you know, dealt with first and foremost. And then also, you know, what could hold for a little while. So they do that. And then our maintainers are constantly, you know, on the road. I mean, they know that road like the back of their hands. It's just crazy. They're like, oh, we're at the 24 on the 17, and you know the one tree that's, you know, it's really funny and comical to have conversations with them because you're like, mile marker, please.
I need more details.
But you know, these guys, they know their roads and they're proud of their roads and they're proud of what they do. So constantly evaluating.
Now, when it comes to construction season, which is always much closer than we think it's going to be. What does it look like this year going in there? Because I know you guys are short-staffed. Are there worries or is there a recruiting push?
Well, from a construction aspect, yes. Jake's a little shorthanded. We do have two new guys that are going to be starting this next year, or not next year, next week. But, you know, they're kind of green. So there's going to be a huge learning curve. Wes and Frankie and Jacob are extremely seasoned. They have a lot of experience. They're good mentors. So I'm confident that those new guys will pick up what they need to do pretty quickly. So we've got four key projects in Sheridan coming up. And we're going to finish that I-90 Montana State Line project. We're going to be in the eastbound lane. We're going to do a realignment for about 5 miles between mile marker 3 and 8, where we've had the slides on that east lane. We're going to shift the median over a little bit, or shift that passing lane over into the median and eliminate that slide potential.
also continuing with the two, replacing the two bridges that we did box culverts with last year. We're going to throw those up on the east side and then, of course, pave it. So we're going to be kicking that off in March sometimes, kind of weather dependent. So that's going to be going. We've got a project with the county where we're going to realign the East Ridge Road right here by the dump. We're going to take that big hairpin out and straighten it out and then pave it, which will go to 14 East. And then we got a bridge in Parkman that we're going to be replacing, and the Work Street Bridge here. We're doing a project with the city on that. And then we're doing a mill and overlay with some ADAs out at Claremont.
Give me the 30-second where I need to go if I want to be a part of one of these projects, if I want to join up with WIDOT.
Well, you can always go to the State of Wyoming jobs and put in that search and do Sheridan and WIDOT, and it should pull up those queues for those positions. They're construction and survey tech, I think is the title of the projects, of the jobs.
All right.
So, or you can just call the WIDOT office and we can help you out.
All right, Laura, I want to thank you so much for coming in this morning. Once again, I'm sorry for the snafu.
Oh, no worries.
It's always good seeing you, and be safe out there.
Thank you. You too.
All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Here's what makes First Federal Bank and Trust different.
No shareholders, just shared values and profits that are reinvested locally, supporting nonprofits to help our communities thrive.
Mutual means more for our communities.
With years of trusted local service and modern banking tools that make life easier, mutual means more.
First Federal Bank and Trust, banking with shared values. Member FDIC.
Hi, this is Taylor, front of house manager at Frackleton's. From the moment you walk in, we want your meal to feel easy, welcoming, and unrushed. A great night out isn't just about what's on the plate. It's how you're greeted, how you're taken care of, and how everything flows. We pay attention to the details so you don't have to. Good food, good service, good timing, start to finish. Frackleton's, Main Street, downtown Sheridan. Oh, and book your table early on Frackleton's.com.
The world's premier touring guitar festival returns to the Wild Theater stage Thursday, February 12th, with an unforgettable evening of artistry, diversity, and virtuosity. This year's international guitar lineup features four extraordinary talents: Australian classical guitarist Stephanie Jones, Brazilian crossover sensation Lucas Imbiriba, Russian fingerstyle innovator Alexander Misko, and Hawaiian ukulele virtuoso Taimane. International Guitar Night, Thursday, February 12th at 7 p.m. Get your tickets now at the Wild box office or online at wildtheater.com. Your car does a lot for you, getting you to work, hauling kids, driving in Wyoming weather. So when it needs service, trust the experts at Midas. Midas repairs brakes, battery, exhaust, steering, air conditioner, radiator, suspension, starters, charging system, fluids, tires. Midas does it all, and they do it right. Right now, the savings are strong. Buy one oil change, get one free to use by March. Plus, save $100 on a set of four tires. For full service auto repair, see Midas Tire and Auto in Sheridan. A touch above the rest.
The Sweet Deals Marketplace is online at SheridanMedia.com. Bid now on items from Black Diamond Detailing, Kilpatrick Creations, Beano's Corner, Chem Dry Carpet Cleaning, The Fiber House, Miracle Housekeeping, Sheridan Seed, Story Store, Glow Wild Spray Tan and Skincare, and Tales of the City, along with Designing Dinners, Sagewood North Cafe, Craft Bros Music, EBA Hearing, Dalton's RV, and a lot more. Shop the Sweet Deals online marketplace now through February 16th at SheridanMedia.com.